All right, everybody, welcome back to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind, week two of our, you know, being sequestered. And we have our cast of characters here. As always, everybody's happy and smiling and having a good time. We've got Carrie J.K. and we've got Joe Freeman as well. You know, since everybody's been cooped up indoors, you know, for a few weeks here, you know, you may have noticed that many musicians are, you know, have turned to live streaming as a kind of outlet for their, you know, performance Jones. They can't go out and play in a club or a coffee shop or a winery or whatever. So they're turning on the camera and doing a live thing. Now, most of these live streams look and sound mediocre at best. Now, this is nothing to do with the performance of the artists, but everything to do with the live streaming setup or lack thereof that most of these talented people are using. So on today's call, I want to go through how you guys can do cool stuff to make those live streams like really stand out, be really engaging, make, you know, have the fans really like it and have something that maybe you can repurpose down the road for, who knows, getting gigs when everybody's back to that or all sorts of things. So that is going to be the topic for today. I'm adjusting my levels a little bit here. So we have Carrie and we've got Joe. How you guys doing? Everybody all right?
Yep.
All right. Doing well. Cool. So I'm going to go ahead and start, unless you guys have something you want to chime in with before. Are we good for me to kind of present this for everybody?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm just going to move a cat out of the way.
Okay. Move a cat out of the way. I know. I have the same problem here sometimes. So cats, they get very interested whenever you're doing something. They want to get in on it. So so let's talk about this. Excuse me. Let's talk about these live things. Now, of course, the most simple thing to do is to just pick up your mobile device and, you know, sing a song for us, you know. And I see people doing that or maybe propping it up on something, or they open up the laptop and they use or tablet and they use the camera and the audio just that's just right there, and they sit on their couch and they sing a song. Mm-hmm. Would you pay to go to a concert like that? I mean, maybe if it was somebody like really famous, you'd love to see Willie Nelson, maybe just, you know, you know, in his, you know, in his house singing. Or I saw that John Fogerty did a show and his dog is there and he's sitting out on this nice, you know, outside on by this tree. And maybe for something like that, But in general, most people aren't going to want to watch something for very long, unless they are like your best friend or your mom or your wife or husband, whatever, just sit there and watch you. In fact, husbands and wives may want to watch even less. They may not want to watch at all. So you are married, may understand that. So, but the cell phone, laptop, whatever thing is like, that's the simplest way if you want to do something. I think that those things are probably better for quick messages to your fans. You're doing something cool. You throw the phone on real quick to kind of show them some cool thing that you're doing for a minute or two. And that's about it. Most of those, that's about it.
I've long been advocating that as a form of practice, as a form of performative practice.
Right.
So sometimes you can schedule it, but I put it under the umbrella of what I call guerrilla performance. And guerrilla performance is the same as busking on the streets, open mics, where you just show up, you haven't been scheduled, you're just going to do it that day. And it's to keep your aura in so you're good in front of people. And it's very different when you're playing in your practice room. And right. So a lot of the time, that is a great thing to do. And you can do it as yourself. You can even do it under any kind of fake name. So the pressure's off. And then just do it and just try new stuff out to anybody who comes by. And it's completely casual. And you can have a link to a tip box or the rest. You can, if people are digging what you do, if you have done it as an assumed name, then you can say, well, here's my main project. Or you can just go ahead and do it as yourself and just say that this isn't a problem. This is just what I do. In fact, I knew a guy in Leeds who, but the only reason he went out busking was so he could practice in public. He didn't care about how much money he made. He'd just sit there and that's where he'd practice all day because he'd be getting real-time feedback. And then if somebody did start having a conversation with him, he'd give him their business card. So that's that side of it. And the advantage of camp performance on that thing is it's intimate. It gives you something that's different to a regular performance.
Right.
And the people that I ended up playing to when I did that probably wouldn't have dug it if it had been like set up in a mock stage with lights going off and that whole thing. And like everyone's like miles off down there and it feels like that. Because it's the fact that it does feel more impromptu and intimate went for it. And actually the technology of it went became part of it. However, as you're saying now, we're doing it as something to show that you mean business, as something that is actually scheduled. It is time for production values. So,
well, I think that there is absolutely room in the space for both ways of doing it. And that can be really, that can be like a really fun, I like the term you use, like gorilla, use the word gorilla. And not as
that's
in
with a U, not with an O.
Right, right. I'm just gonna say that. Yeah, not the yeah. So you know, doing that sort of like gorilla type performance is very cool. Like, I don't know, like you're somewhere. Well, you're not supposed to be anywhere nowadays, but just say for instance, you know, this is just a, you know, you happen to be, I don't know, you happen to be somewhere, and you go like, this is cool. I'm throwing the thing up real quick, and I'm gonna do a song while whatever is going on, you know, or to show people that I'm here doing this thing or whatever. You're volunteering somewhere and you've got a mask on and gloves and you're helping out people. Maybe that's the kind of thing. But so there's different ways you could. So that is definitely a way of doing it. But if you are going to tell people, I am going, you know, you create an event on a social media platform like Facebook, and you say, I mean, I'm going to do a live concert. You should try to do a live concert. Now, I want to kind of talk about a little, some of the things that you need to consider. For at least, at the bare minimum, put the phone on a tripod, okay? Mm-hmm. And angle it so that, like, you know, it, you look kind of cool. You're in frame. You can see what you're doing. And then, you know, to go a little bit further, you want to consider, you know, good mics, just as if you were singing live. You want to consider an audio, what you're doing with your audio interface. If you don't know what an audio interface is a device that allows you to connect things like microphones, guitars, keyboards, whatever, and allow that to go into the computer and allows it to connect with, you know, whatever workstation you're using, whatever audio recording software you like. Carrie and I are big fans of Reaper, and I'll put a link to Reaper in the show notes. You guys can check out what Reaper is. This isn't a call on what Reaper is. I would also, you know, along with your audio interface as the sound that's going out over the internet, I consider things like compression, EQ, reverb. This will give it a more professional sounding performance. It will also mix your voice better with the instruments. If you know anything about audio recording, you know, compression is your friend. And it allows that, because the voice is so dynamic and there's so much to it that very often you'll find that like it's either too loud or too soft. You know, if you crank it up where you can hear it, it all sounds kind of like it's standing out, like riding on top of the instruments, as opposed to mixing in nice. So play around with, you know, your EQ compression settings. And if you put a little bit of room ambience on it, a little bit of reverb or something. Now, how do we get this all out? Because this is all great. And we could record like this. Many of you do that. Many of you have setups at home. You record like this and it sounds great. It will not sound great. And I promise you, it will not sound great if you just do this, turn on your Facebook Live or your YouTube Live and start performing. It will not sound like that, because what's happening is the way your internet connects to all these different things, there's a lot of technical stuff that I am not going to get into right now. But what will happen is the sound will get extremely distorted very, very quickly. I watched a live stream with a friend of mine the other night. I really appreciated that. He's a well-known guitar player in the Pittsburgh area. And he's like, hey, you know, you promote my thing, I'll promote your thing. I'm like, absolutely. I love it. Thank you, Steve. And I watched his performance. And during the talking, it all sounded fine. As soon as he started playing, after about 5 seconds, the sound, he sounded like he was playing underwater. Everything was like That's basically all you heard, with some musical notes. And he's a dynamite guitar player. He's ripping this stuff. You could tell he was playing his ass off, but it's like you couldn't even tell what he was doing. And that's because he hooked up his setup and ran straight to the internet. Boom. This is so important. You need, and if you're going to do high quality audio, you need an encoder. I'm not going to tell you what an encoder does. I'm not going to get into the technical aspects of it. Look it up. But there is a free software encoder, Open Broadcaster System, OBS. You can just go to Google, type in OBS encoder, and you can download it for free. It works most of the time for most of you out there. If you have a current Windows, a current Mac computer, it should work fine. However, it does not work on every setup. It does not work on my setup. And I spent a very long time, and I hired outside people who know about computers to come in and look at my setup and try to make this thing work. We could not make it work no matter what we did. It would constantly freeze and everything. Other people swear by it. So I'm not here to knock OBS. I would tell you to try that because it is going to give you the best results. It also allows you to do things like share your screens really easy. So if you want to do, so what you're going to find out is once you get set up with this, you're not going to just do live concerts. You're going to do other stuff with this setup. So it's worth the investment. So what I ended up getting a hardware encoder. And you can buy them on Amazon. And I will put a link in the description to the one that I have. It was less than $100. And there's no subscription. I just have it forever, as long as it doesn't break. And it allows you to route the audio in such a way to the internet that it comes out just sounding like a radio broadcast. It sounds like your Sirius XM or your when you stream music or whatever from YouTube or Spotify. Just has that just good quality sound that we all want to hear. It doesn't make you sound like you're underwater. Important. So you need an encoder, or it will just very quickly turn to garbage. If you use a mobile device and just take the audio stream off of that, you won't need an encoder. This sounds weird, and it sounds counterintuitive, but for some reason, the way that the mobile devices connect to the internet there isn't that problem, as long as you're just using the ambient sound in the room. You'll get like a better, it'll still be that ambient, it'll still be the equivalent of, some of you guys remember the days of tape recorders. Remember when you would take a tape recorder and just record the show? You'd press record and play at the same time. You know, it would be that kind of quality, not really like good broadcast quality, but you know, you could hear everything. But if you want to have the functionality and really have a really great sound, I highly recommend you invest in an encoder. By doing this and recording with the computer, as opposed to just holding just putting your cell phone up, allows you to do stuff like record the audio separately and even have all the instruments on separate tracks, because maybe you want to repurpose this performance. Maybe you take it into the studio and you mix it a little bit, maybe fix a couple little mistakes, and boom, you've got a live record you can put out. So it's worth it to go through the hassle of setting this up as if, you know, in a more serious way. Get an encoder, sit down, work out your settings on your computer. The other thing you'll need is you will need a patch, especially if you're somebody who plays with background tracks. But I'm not here to knock background tracks. I landed an awesome gig, like a real gig, paying real money, because I was putting up videos of me playing the backing tracks, and I impressed some people that hired me because they liked my guitar playing so much. So, you know, if you're going to use tracks, you're going to need a way to route that through everything so that the people on the other end get the sound that you're hearing back through your monitors. So a piece of software that you can use, and you can get this at rogueamoeba.com. This company, Rogue Amoeba, makes all kind of software patches that will allow you to connect almost stuff within the computer almost any way you want to. It's really, It's like magic. No idea how they do what they do, but they have several different pieces of software. I'm only using one right now, although when I go to the site, I look at them like, that's a good one. I could use that. You know, they'll all kind of stuff to route all kind of stuff. So say you do things where you want to, like I do a podcast and we're doing this right now. I have the guy's audio routed in such a way that, you know, I'm able to multi-track record this. So Carrie and Joe are on a separate track in Reaper than me. So for some reason, their audio is, I listen to it back and their audio is a little off or mine's too loud. I can quickly mix it. Okay. So Loopback allows you to do that. And I want to show you guys, I'm going to do a quick screen share here and show you guys what Loopback looks like. It's very, very easy to use. Share. Here's a share. Okay, there it is, Loopback, and share it. Can you guys see it? Carrie?
Yeah.
Joe? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so here, I think I need to move this over here so the audience can see it on Facebook. So what you can do is I've set up different profiles. You know, this is one for when I do guitar videos. This is one for when I do interviews. This is my general podcast setup, which I'm actually using right now. And here's some other ones I was just experimenting with. And what you can see is here's all the applications, iTunes, QuickTime, Safari, Spotify, and this 20 by 20 is my audio interface. So here's all the different tracks on my audio interface. And then down here is you connect what you want to go where. And there's a come up, you know, you can monitor through back through. I don't do that because you get like a weird here. You get like a weird echo. It sounds like an Elvis recording with all that slap back. I'll turn that back off. So you can set up multiple setups for different applications, different things you're going to do. Like I said, when you get stuff like this, you're going to find more uses for it. It's well worth the investment. I think that Loopback is, I think it's like a $30 piece of software and there's not a subscription. You keep it forever. You can use it whenever. And I believe they have versions for Mac and PC. I'm going to stop the share.
I'm looking at their website. I'm only seeing Mac at the moment.
So maybe it is Mac only.
I'm just saying. Yeah, Mac. Yeah, these are all Mac.
They're Mac. Okay, so if you... I can't believe that there isn't software for Windows for this. I used to use Soundflower. Now, I don't know if that's even still around, but I believe that may have worked on both as well.
Soundflower.
I don't know if that's still around, though. Good.
Oh, right, yeah. It's under freebies.
Okay.
But I don't know if it's... but yeah, that's also by the same people.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was basically the predecessor of Loopback, by the look of it.
Okay.
However, it's also for Mac and not for PC.
So anyway, so you need to be able to you know, if you're going to move sounds around in the computer, you're going to play the tracks, your recorded tracks that you do, or you're going to use backing tracks from the net or whatever. That's irrelevant at this point. Don't get hung up on that. You need some kind of routing software. Let me move this out of the way. So I think that's pretty much mandatory. So you want to get something like that. Encoder, I believe, is mandatory. Recording software, if you're not interested in recording, you don't really need a recording software, but I highly recommend it, as well as some type of multi-streaming software. I use Restream, and Restream allows you to send the stream to different places. Now, this became very important to me last night when I was trying to stream to Facebook and Facebook kept on, you know, screwing up my stream and turning it off and everything like that. I was trying to stream to my just personal page. So I was able to save the whole thing because I was also streaming to my private group and I was streaming to YouTube. So I just turned off that other stream and all things were fixed. So I still had it. I was still able to do the streaming. I still have the video saved. And because I'm into recording myself with Reaper, I had everything routed into Reaper too. So I have a good stereo quality recording of the performance saved that I could go back and play around with, do different things with. So that's the basics on the technology. Do you guys have any questions about that before I talk about the next thing I want to talk about real quick? No?
Not a question.
Comment, just, interjection. Good.
Just a little bit of Googling for Windows alternatives. There is something called Audio Router, which was something that somebody did as just as a freeware solution. I haven't tried it, so I don't know. I think it was open source, but it's available in various locations on the World Wide Web. This was all pre-Windows 10. I think I've also seen some hints that this is a feature of Windows 10. So I'll have to look into that a bit more. I do know it's a problem I've had. There's something else called Che Volume. I don't know much about Che Volume, C-H-E Volume. But solutions are available, but more research is needed.
Right. So if you're going to do this and you're going to, you know, like create an event on Facebook and tell everybody you're doing it and come check it out, as opposed to the guerrilla, you know, type performance where you're just like, throw caution to wind, flip the cell phone on and do something crazy. If you're going to do it, then you need to treat this like a gig. This is a gig. Okay. This is not like, you know, just because you're doing it from your house or your practice space, you have to treat it like a gig, which means things like show up. If you're supposed to start at 8, start at 8 or 9 or whatever you said you're going to start, start the time you're supposed to start. But I know somebody's going to interject, say, well, musicians are always late. So to make it like a real gig, you should start 10 minutes late. I don't know. That's up to you. Make the thing look as cool as you can. There's two schools of thought. One school of thought on video is, you know, you want a non-distracting background. So people will like put like dark curtains, or they'll put white curtains or something, some kind of background where they don't see anything. I think that to me, that screams like marketing video or something like that. Doesn't look like, you know, something I would want to watch for fun or for entertainment. Like if a guy was, you know, if Joe was doing a presentation on, you know, how to build a funnel, maybe I wouldn't want. Maybe it would make sense not to have any distractions in the background. But if I tune in, but if Carrie's going to do a live concert and he's at the piano, I want it like, I think the background and all that is like, they're kind of like stage props. And they can, you know, so you want to think about dressing up your room so that it communicates whatever your image brand, we talked about this a few weeks ago, is. With me, if those of you guys that are watching the video portions, you see I've got guitars around and amps. You know, I have my pedals on stands back here and things like that. So, and I light it too. So you want to make it look, whatever your niche is or whatever your thing is. So if you're like, I mean, you know, I was on a stream with somebody this week, and the guy has all these like toys, like these shelves of toys around him. And it was for him, what he's doing, it was like really cool. He had a great look to it. So just think about that. How can you dress up the area around you to make it, you know, fun, interesting, you know, go along with your niche, light it, invest, you know, you can do this. You can do this relatively inexpensively. You can go to Amazon and get a few LED colored lights, very easy to use. They don't take up much room at all. And they don't use even as much electricity as like a regular incandescent bulb. So get that, light the thing, play around with how it looks, move lights around till you get something that looks cool. A hint, I got this from a friend of mine's been a professional lighting rigger for many, many years. Put some light behind you. If you put some light behind you, if you have a kind of a darker room, you've got light behind you, it gives you a kind of three-dimensional kind of look. So put some light behind you as well. That's a little, just a little bonus tip. Dress for success. Okay. Like, I don't know if your niche is like sweatpants, you know, in a hoodie, then do that. But, you know, most of us, you know, when we think about how you would go on stage, you want to wear what you would wear if this was a gig, and you wanted to, you know, feel like you were that, that artist, that persona that you are. You want that has to come across on camera. So, you know, wear what you would wear at a gig. You know, put some time into thinking about what you want to do with that. You know, it doesn't have to be Kiss or Alice Cooper. Just what, you know, whatever your persona is, make sure that you're doing that on the camera and not just half-assing it and, you know, interact with the audience. Now, this was something because I had all kind of goofy technical issues last night with Facebook. I was not able to do the way I wanted to. But typically when I do when we do the live podcasts, throughout the week, we do shout outs to people. You know, people will make comments, we'll answer the comments back, we'll interact, we'll joke around, we'll have fun. People love that. I give you an example. I was on a live concert last weekend. A friend of mine, Katie Simone, and her band, they did a live concert. It sounded pretty good. They, you know, you could see everybody and everything. But the reason I stuck around, and this is the human ego, okay? Because I made a comment and I threw a bunch of likes up, and I knew that if I stuck around, they would give me a shout out. I wanted to hear somebody give me a shout out. Okay. And I think we all love that, don't we? So if you're on, if your fans are on there, give them that shout out, make that part, you know, in maybe if you were doing it, this is where the internet performance and the actual live performance differ a little bit. You're going to have to monitor those comments somehow so you can have another setup with you. No, not a setup, but you could have your,
there will be jerks.
There will be jerks. You could have your, you can use it with your, you can do like have an alter, what's the word I want? Like you can have, you can monitor this with your cell phone or tablet or something that you can have sitting there. You could take a look in between the songs and see who's watching and give shout outs and stuff like that. Yes, you will have jerks. There will occasionally have people that, but if you're streaming, if you've advertised this and you're doing this, you've brought fans, and most of the time people are just going to want to have fun. They may, you know, and if you've got friends that make wisecracks and stuff like that, go with that. Like, have fun with it. Mm-hmm. The live thing, though, typically you wouldn't be interacting in this quite of a, as a personal way. It might be a little bit different, but here you're treating each person like an individual. So you want to try to give shout outs to as many people who are watching as possible, address as many comments as you can. This is just as important as everything else we discussed with the technology, getting that right and the lighting and everything. Making them feel like they're part of what you're doing goes a long way and will keep people hanging out. People love that. I can't stress that enough. So the platform. Now there are platforms just for doing live concerts. I'm not talking about that right now. What I mean by platform, I mean like Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Periscope, whatever. There are platforms that aren't social media platforms that are just for streaming concerts. We can address that on another call, another time. But what I'm talking about is primarily going to social media, Periscope, Facebook, YouTube. There's pros and cons. Facebook right now and for a long time now has been pushing the live streaming and pushing its own native video because they are in a competition with YouTube. Just really quickly, if you don't realize this, Google and Facebook are they're having a war all the time. Who's getting the most use? Who's got the most features? Facebook can get more people. Google can get more people. YouTube is owned by Google, so doing your thing on YouTube and then kind of connecting it to Facebook, the algorithm will squash that. Not very many people will see that. It's better to, if you can use something like Restream, if you want to go to YouTube as well, is to do it from your end to send it to the two things as opposed to trying to share it in some weird way. Facebook is just the place to do this right now in terms of getting the most people to will come and see you. This is very much like what we talked about with everything else. What Joe talked about with funnels a few weeks ago, where he said, you know, you're probably better off to get your music in places like Amazon and places like that where people are already going, and use those platforms and build it up to get to people where people will come to you, to your websites or whatever. This works the same kind of way. And there's different ways of doing it. You could just maybe do a song every day and then you know, put a link in there to your to where you're going to be, you know, whatever live concerts thing that you want to use, if you wanted to try to get them there. But I would say if you're just starting out and you're building an audience, do just do them on Facebook, you know, and then connect. And if you want to use the optional software of multi-streaming, I would YouTube as well. What's nice about YouTube is YouTube allows you to edit the videos right on the platform. If you want to go back and edit, YouTube has all kinds of extra goodies for things like transcribing. You can put all kind of show notes and everything. You can do that with Facebook. It's not as intuitive. YouTube has been ahead of the curve with stuff like that. so if you need to put links to things.
One thing I have with YouTube at the moment with that, and I have been adding subtitles to my videos. Part of this, I have a wife who's as hard of hearing, so she's impressed on me the need to have subtitles. And by the way, do this for your music videos too. I mean, obviously not if it's already a lyric video, but the sort of dancing monkey type of music video that you might make. do put on subtitles and for on YouTube, and they actually have a very good tool on there. I don't know if we're about to lose that tool. So I've got a flash on there saying that Classic Studio is about to go, but I hope we'll keep that feature.
Yeah, yeah, they've changed. But, they're updating their studio. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Anyway, making subtitles on there. First of all, if you've got people on there who are hard of hearing or who don't have English as their first language, they will thank you if the lyrics are readily available and if they are there when they are going. And the other thing about that is you do not want to be at the mercy of, while YouTube has a feature that it will automatically listen to and write out subtitles, you do not want to be at the mercy of that software, because it barely transcribes spoken word properly. It has no chance of sung word. And you'll just get absolutely strange lyrics coming across your video.
They might be better than your lyrics, though, Kerry. You know, you might like look at that and go, well, I should have sang it that way.
Yeah. But yeah, and like some of them. Yeah. But yeah. but here's the thing. It probably takes me about 20 minutes to fully transcribe lyrics onto a YouTube video. And it's totally worth it.
Okay, so there is some advantages to YouTube over Facebook. In terms of visibility, though, I think that right now you're probably best bet. If you've got to pick one, probably, you know, or you could also do a Facebook alternate. If you're doing them every day or if you're doing them once a week, do one on Facebook, do one on YouTube if you have to pick. You know, you could mix it up. Also, the cool things about YouTube is you can do things like you can keep the video there, but you can make it unlisted. So if you want to go back, you want to keep it there, but you want to go back and maybe fix some stuff or change stuff or add the subtitles or stuff like that, and then make it public again. So there's a lot of cool features there. Also, Facebook videos can disappear. A friend of mine did a concert on Facebook and her video disappeared. Now she thought that, well, maybe this is an ASCAP BMI issue. You know what I mean? Cause she's doing cover songs. I don't think that's what it is. I'm not sure what it is and who knows. It could have been anything. Facebook removed a bunch of stuff around that same couple day period. So hers just might have been a casualty of whatever Facebook was doing at that time. So now speaking of this, I just want to say one more thing. Just a second, Joe. Well, I don't lose my train of thought. Speaking of losing stuff, if you have the hard drive space, try to record the video onto your system. Okay, if you've got, you know, so it might be worth it to invest in the sort of paid version of Dropbox or whatever to kind of like capture it, make sure you have that way. No matter what Facebook or YouTube get a wild hair up their ass about your video, you have it. You always have it. And you can redo stuff like that. And then if Facebook pulls it, guess what you got? You have a little controversy to add to your marketing. You can say, see the video that Facebook refuses to show you. And you can put that in your marketing, right, Joe? And people will be like, ooh, I want to see what Facebook won't show me. Everybody loves that. I don't care how conservative you are. Everybody has like a naughty thing. They want to see the thing that nobody's allowed to look at. Everybody loves that. So if that happens to you, you can be prepared by having the video done. And I highly recommend that you route this thing to some type of record. So if you use Logic or you use Cubase, even a thing, I don't know why that popped out of my mouth. If you use Reaper, whatever, set it up so that you got that, because, and then even just for your own thing to be able to go back and listen to it and go, oh, I was flat there, or I missed that chord there. Let me fix that. So it's a self-improvement tool. And the more you do this, guys, the better, the more comfortable you'll get with it. So I don't know what it is, guys. And I'll just confess this. Like, I'll sit here and I'll work on a track and I'll be like, I got this. And I'll turn the camera on. And as soon as that camera comes on, I cannot think of one freaking thing to play. Like, everything's garbage because I'm distracted now. So you have to get, the way to get past that distraction is to do this as much as you can. The other last thing I want to add is test everything. So if you just don't like make your first concert, like you followed the directions here, you bought all this software, you're doing whatever, and then just kind of like announce you're doing some big show and then have the whole thing crash. Do little tests of these things. You know what I mean? You know, do 20 seconds of music, 30 seconds of music, stop it, listen to it. You can always delete it from Facebook if it's garbage. Go back and redo it. Yeah. Yeah. Practice, you know, get used to the gear and make sure you know what's going on. Joe has something to say.
Yeah. So anytime you do a live video, no matter what you're doing, you should download it, because you can, as soon as you're done and it's done ripping and makes the video live, you can download it from Facebook or YouTube and then have it on your hard drive. That allows you to do a lot of different things, like repurposing little segments of the video, little segments of the audio, putting it on other platforms to get attention to that video that's on the other platforms, as well as maybe if you have a blog, add it to your blog. A lot of times I tell people, hey, you know, I promote doing things on social media, getting attention and going to a two-page funnel in order to see if there's a market match. But I also don't believe the website is completely dead, because I like the idea of being able to have a blog and have all my assets in one place. So a lot of times you do a video on, you know, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, or TikTok. And you guys definitely need to look at TikTok. Then you take that and you download it, you can put it on your blog, and then you can drive traffic in between them. And if for some reason you lose it or it's brought down, you know, you'll always have it.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, if you're just getting started with this, monetization is, mm-hmm. you know, not paramount, in my opinion, when you're first starting. But if you get good at this, you start doing these and you're like, man, you're playing it back and you're like, man, it looks good. It sounds good. This is totally pro. Maybe you adding the captions, maybe you're adding the lyrics, you're doing stuff like that. You can look into how you might monetize it. And one of the easiest things to do is to just do a paypal.me, you know, to stuff like that. But in the beginning, this is just something I wanted to, because I saw so many bands this over the past 2 weeks, like all of a sudden bands and artists doing this. And some of them are just absolutely atrocious. Not because of the artist, because they don't know what they're doing as a musician, just they don't have a handle on how this all works. And make sure that you do say, and what I have in the show notes here, links to the different pieces of software that we talked about, so you guys can check this out for yourself, and make sure that you save it in some way. So whether that is after this, here's why I like recording it having it natively on your hard drive. Even if you have to then move it to some cloud thing, just to kind of like
get an external hard drive.
What was that?
I've got a 2 terabyte one. You can get bigger than that.
Okay.
And it just plugs into your USB and it's that small.
Yeah.
Get one of them.
Exactly. But the reason one other reason is quality, because you will find that, like, right now I'm looking at Carrie and Joe, on my computer here on Zoom, and it's like perfect high definition quality. But when you stream, you may or you may not get that. So if video quality is important to you, which it should be, you don't necessarily want to rely on the video quality after it has streamed and then you download that. Just record it natively. Just capture the video, capture the audio natively, and that way you have it. And then you can also do things like put the high definition version mixed down and cleaned up or whatever on your Patreon. So that's another way that takes you into a little bit of monetization too. This is just a little extra thing, or on your member site or whatever you're going to do with that. There was something else I wanted to mention and I can't remember what it is. I think Joe has mentioned TikTok a couple of times now, so I'm thinking next week's show needs to be about TikTok.
Lou, I want you to look at TikTok and Insta concerts.
Insta concerts.
Insta concerts.
Okay. So I know what I want to say. Instagram. I want to say real quick. Instagram, I believe what you could do on Instagram is to just, if you're good with handy with video editing, or you have somebody on in your circle that can do it, edit, like create like a highlight, 30, 60 second highlight reel, and then use that to push people to go back and rewatch your videos or you know, your upcoming video or whatever. That's pretty much all I have to say about it. Is there anything else you guys want to jump in on?
A couple of extra things about that. First thing, I keep shouting these out, but I do consider them to be the masters of this, is Steam Powered Giraffe. Check out how Steam Powered Giraffe have been doing this, because they basically built their reputation on it. They're a live band and they go around steampunk conventions and they do all that. But even before they started doing that, the way they really built a reputation was online. So they were there from the word go. So that means that now that online concerts are a thing, they are already so far ahead of the curve because they've been doing it for so long. So when you watch their live streams, it's all set up. They've got them. Obviously, it's in the room where they all do it. Most often they'll do it in costume and character, but recently they did one that was out of character. But for a long time, they're doing podcasts where it was just them. And they sort of like went halfway house with this latest one. But when they do these things, they will write the show that they're going to perform. So they will have bits that they're doing in between the songs all the way through. There's a little ticker along the bottom that says, if you're enjoying the show, go to here to tip the band. So there's a call to action. It's telling you what to do throughout, and they've arranged it so you can do that without going too far away from the show. And then if you do tip the band, you'll get a little shout out appear on a ticker as well. There's things that will do that. There are various platforms that have that. I won't go into all of that. I did look up how to do it, but it's probably changed now. But that meant that they had, not only was did they have that interaction with the audience, when somebody actually does give them money, they can thank them in real time and the little thing will come up. And I think it comments that way as well. So, they've been doing this really well for a long time. Also, call back to what we said earlier about the audio sharing. I've now found out that those PC apps haven't been updated in a while. That's because this is now a feature of Windows 10.
Fantastic.
And I've found it. I'm going to show you it. So on Windows 10, it's right here. And it's in the settings and it's under sound, which is where the sound card is. If you go all the way down to the bottom to advanced sound options, app volume, device preferences, click on that, and here it is. I can now route what I've got to wherever I want to be. It just so happens I've only got one audio thing set up on here at the moment. But were that not the case, I would then be able to choose what goes where.
Great improvement. It was funny when I first started to try to figure this all out, because so I wanted to figure it out because of the podcast. I wanted to be able to play the music and not have it sound like the whole time. So I was on a massive search. I mean, it took me a really long time to like find all these tools and pull them all in. I'm glad that Windows has that. But I think that for a long time, one of the reasons why that wasn't just readily available was to prevent you from, you know, ripping music and videos and stuff like that off the internet and having it for yourself. So you could conceivably, like we did, those of us who are old enough to remember this, Joe, you might be too young, but Carrie, I think you probably remember this, is, you know, when your friend would get the album and then you would tape it and then you would have it, or maybe you would make mixtapes. So That is a old school way to kind of grab stuff off the internet, audio off the internet that you want to, that you need or you want, is to do the old school, hit the record button on your software, hit the play button on iTunes or Spotify or whatever, and you can record it right in there. And I think that there was maybe an effort for a long time to prevent people from being able to do that when workstations and stuff became available. Now that doesn't seem to be a thing. They seem to be, all that stuff seems to be out there.
I think that horse bolted almost immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things I still do is because I just because I want the control of it is because I want to run the music that we play in the podcast. I want to run it on a different, I want to have it on a different machine because just to make it easier to turn it off and on as opposed to jiggling around with the mouse. So I run this cable. I'm holding up a little like old school 1/8-inch cable. It's a wah. On the other end, it's a Y. Here, I'll just pull it out. On the other end, it's a Y. And I got 8 tracks here. So I got a bunch of unused ones. So I run out of my laptop with Spotify and run into 2 channels here. And I've got stereo, old school, just with a cord. I bought a really good cord, though, one that's not noisy and shit like that. And shit. Like, you know, it works absolutely fine. It's just like hooking your tape deck up to your radio. Remember doing that? That's exactly what I'm doing. So there are a lot of different options. There are workarounds from the software stuff if you're old school and you like hardware. And like I said, with that encoder, but you have to have an encoder if you're going off the computer. Just do it. Just get one. Don't screw around. The one I bought was not expensive at all. It's made in Korea or something like that, and it works. I've had it for going on 2 years now, and just do it. So anything else, guys, before we finish up for today? So
the one thing I want to say is that doing it repeatedly and seeing what works for you, you're not going to be perfect the first couple of times. Lou did a run through of his concert last night, and I'm sure there's things he saw he'd like to change, and there's feedback that I'm going to give him.
Oh, great.
And you just keep going and you keep doing it. And then you say, okay, well, I like the way this worked. I didn't like the way this worked. And then once you get good at one platform or one way of streaming and you're like, okay, this is working really well, then there's other platforms that you can use to then draw attention to what you're doing. Like Lindsey Sterling, I'm sure Liam McHenry and people like that, they started on YouTube. And just started sharing their music, and they built up their skills, got more and more people to pay attention to them over time. But the first few videos they did, they got like, 2-3 people, or friends or whoever watching.
Right.
And over time they're more and more and more, and they got better and better and better. And then they started promoting it more because they felt more comfortable with it. And they learned other platforms like Instagram and TikTok and stuff like that. And TikTok's really hot right now. But they each have their own format. Not only do they have their own like video time, and do they each have their own like things that people are looking for to watch on there. They have their own audience per se, but they also have like literally their own image format, their own video format. There's things that you need to learn when you add those things. So, if you're just starting out going online, pick the platform that you're most comfortable with and start streaming to it. Make it available to everyone that you know so that you can get feedback. And then over time, you're going to build up your audience. You're going to try other platforms. And then you're going to start saying, okay, well, they really like these type of things. And then you'll get into the monetization, like what to hold back and what not to hold back later. But if you don't push it and get it out there and practice your skills, you're not going to get better. Like me personally, like all this stuff Lou just said, I'm like sitting there listening and taking notes because I use my cell phone with a Rode Eye, a little camera that you attach to your cell phone with a tripod and a little clip. And I could show you.
At least you're somewhere. Using a tripod and some setup. You're not just going like, holding it out.
I have this really cool little bracket that holds your cell phone on top of the tripod. And then it holds the microphone and the microphone hooks into your phone. And then I put that in front of my computer because I tried messing with all this stuff Lou said, not exactly what he said, but I tried messing with some stuff and I can't go live on my Facebook now. I'm trying to figure out why I can't go live on Facebook on my desktop. So I just do it for my camera. But I'm a coach and a marketer. I'm not a musician. So, you know, that's why I stayed quiet today. The main input I want to do, put out there, is just, guys, practice and try different things. And if you don't have all the technology and wherewithal that Lou has, don't stop yourself.
Yeah, get started. Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah. And if what you got is a cell phone and a clip, do that. Like, just get started.
Yeah. The good news here is that market forces have made the technology that goes on this little thing has just gone up exponentially over the past 5 years.
Yeah.
The point where I am holding in my hand something that would have been way out there just 3 or 4 years ago. And it's because, I mean, like, what are the best driving forces? One of them is vanity. And when they realized that people wanted to be able to post themselves online and do really good selfies and make themselves look and sound really good, they made sure that the technology available was easily available in the mainstream for them to do it. And that means all of that technology is right there. It used to be that I had cameras and that, but I would have had to go around to whatever little electronic shops and build stuff up and Jerry Solutions. Now you don't have to do anything like that. You already have in your pocket something that can get you started.
Absolutely.
And then everything that you add to that after that, and then from where you go from there is just what you add to that to make it better.
I will have to do a video showing, because I can't show it, the setup, and be on the camera to show you, show you my setup in here, because it was a process. I did not start out this way. When we first started going live for the podcast, that's what I did. I had a cell phone on a stand, and I think I used gaffer's tape or duct tape to hold it on, you know. And that's how we started. And then I was like, well, I want to make that better. I want to make this better. I want to make that better. The other thing that that I want to touch on, especially with musicians, is, and Kerry, you know this, and every other musician knows this, the fastest way to get to improve is to record yourself. You think you sound good, and then you record yourself, and you go, ooh, that was off. That wasn't quite right. I missed that. I didn't do this right. So this is the 21st century version of recording yourself to get better at it. And all doing video of yourself is unnerving. Is, I know there's some people in the group here that they're very uncomfortable with that, but doing that helps you get a better handle on, what are you doing on stage? What do you look like on stage? Are you, you know, are you scratching your nose? Are you looking away from people? You know, is there glare coming off your glasses? Do you need to address that? You know, are you slouching? Do you look, you know, so, that shirt doesn't work well, or that, you know, this, you know, whatever, how I'm standing, I have the microphone in the wrong place, whatever. So this is going to improve your live performance. So when we all do get back out there on real stages, we have a potential right now to become way better, because this doesn't lie. When you play this back and you look and sound like crap, that doesn't lie. That's a great educational tool as well. Joe, I just saw Joe got off camera and he came back and he's got what looks like a, what is that, Joe? Is that AK-47 in your hand? You're not going to do something crazy, are you? What do you have in your hand?
No, I don't think I should be pulling out weapons. So this is just a normal cheap little tripod. But when I add to it, and I noticed this when I was helping a client of mine when we were doing lives, is this little bracket right here.
Right.
So I can twist this and turn this, and then I can open this up for each size of camera. And then down on the bottom, and I must have twisted this too tight last time.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I did.
I hate when that
happens. Anyway, down here on the bottom, once I twist this piece, you can slide in a microphone or flash or whatever you want to slide in there. And then you can just like turn the camera the right way, depending on the format. Go live on whatever platform you're on using that app, and then just shoot a quick video and you're done.
Even adding you could add a good microphone to your cell phone now. They have setups for that. Just doing that, if you want to take it up a notch, you know, just you know, you can put a cool microphone out there and do it. And there are tons of apps. I mean, who was it, Carrie? Maybe you remember. There was some artist, I don't know, maybe it was 10 years ago, did like the first album recorded on the iPhone. And it sounded fantastic. It's, you know, I forget what software she used.
Famous did one on GarageBand.
What was that?
I know the Ting Tings did one on GarageBand.
Yeah, I mean, you can do, I mean, you know, that's, and Steven Soderbergh released a movie in 2018 shot entirely on the iPhone. And it's really good. Really a freaking good movie. I do not remember the name of it, but it's like a sort of psychological thriller. It's really good. Shot entirely on iPhone. It looks just like a movie.
So they have little microphones like this that you would just attach to the newer cameras, you don't even need it.
Yeah.
Like it depends on what you're doing. Like it's interested, like for coaches and experts to go on and just shoot something, you could just use your phone. Like literally a lot of people just walk wherever they're at and shoot it. But it's interesting, Lou, all those things you were saying you were needing for music, how many of those do you actually use for the podcast?
All of them.
So you're using the same quality and the same devices for a podcast as you would.
I'm using Loopback, Restream, my encoder and Reaper right now as we're doing this.
Okay.
So I use everything. But I'm also a kind of guy who likes a lot of options, and I like to be able to go if I'm always paranoid if something screws up that I could go back and fix. So that's a little different with the podcast, because the podcast, the audio gets ripped and put out there forever. So there are times when something goes haywire, like we hit the play button on the song and it doesn't work, or we accidentally played the wrong song, or we didn't have a microphone on and I need to be able to do editing a little bit later and tweak stuff around. So that is a little bit, but I like those options. And those options, if you've done any audio recording at all, you know the power of being able to, you know, splice things, cut things. I mean, you can do it so seamlessly now with a free piece of software like Reaper. I mean, it's like, it's magic. It's unbelievable. So I just like having those options. Are there way simpler? Could you just throw the thing up with a really good, say you got the latest iPhone or whatever, you know, you guys might throw that up there and it might sound absolutely freaking amazing. The only thing I've noticed with those two, and I don't know if this bothers you, and maybe this is just my, and Carrie, you can maybe correct me on this. All the ones I've seen done like that, everybody's backwards.
If they forget to correct that, they are.
There's a correction for that.
You have to watch out for that, and you never know which way it's going to go. Okay. Generally, it's a software setting.
Okay, it's a software. So there is a software setting to even correct that. So that was another reason why I wanted to get away from the cell phone thing, because we were backwards all the time. And like I'm wearing a t-shirt with my podcast on it, like I am right now, it was backwards. You know, so it was like, this ain't going to fly. Also, the way I have the camera set up with the podcast is I have it on I can't show it to you guys right now, but I have it on a kind of spring-loaded, very movable stand. Like it's kind of like a tripod, except it's bolted to the desk, and I can do this. So if all of a sudden Lily moves and I need to, I can just grab this and do whatever I need to do with it. Oops, see, it's wrong now. You know, so I can sit in real time and adjust, you know, and I can look at the lighting and say, oh, that's in the way or whatever. So I like having that option. Maybe you don't need that option. Maybe you don't care. But
so also, you're not using a built-in camera then? Are you, what kind of camera? Are you this using is, an external?
Hold on.
Get a mirror.
It's a Logitech camera. That just, it's, it plugs in USB. No. That's how I do it. It's not. Also, and the other thing, and I did not mention this, the other thing I am using is I have another monitor. So that I can give the illusion that I'm looking at you guys and I'm looking into the camera at the same time, I have this set up right next to the monitor, almost practically in front of the monitor. So I can see you guys and I can make it look like I'm looking right into the camera. And if I have to monitor something, I can just look away quickly, you know. With it being this close, you can tell that when I'm not looking at the camera. But
I will say, actually, that's an important thing you've touched on there. That is an important aspect of if you're using a phone. I'm going to demonstrate this now. Now, a lot of the time, if you're using a phone, you probably use the facing camera, because those have got good enough now where that's an option for most things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, however, when you do that, a lot of the time you'll be looking directly at the center of the screen, but the camera's there. So that means that when you're addressing the center of the screen, it's going to look like you're Mae West. You're sort of like a little bit off to one side, and like you're talking to somebody off that way the whole time. So do be aware of things like that. So sometimes what I've done instead of that then is just gone back to using the back camera, and then having that's, to be honest, you can have a little monitor, but all I've done is I've just got to put a little mirror there. And the mirror is my way of knowing what.
How do you, that is a great idea. That's a great, like, yeah. Again, there are lo-fi solutions, guys, too. Don't forget to, don't forget you could pull out a mirror or plug something in with a cord. You know, there are other ways around it.
So just, how do you get do the mirror? Explain
how you do the mirror. Explain that.
I'd just get a little shaving mirror, a very small one. And I would just, and when I set the thing up, I would just put it directly underneath the camera. And that would be part of my setup. So I've got the lens. And actually, the older iPhones had that feature. They had a little mirror put on the back of the iPhone for that very purpose. They've stopped doing it now, I think. I don't know why.
So all you need is a little tiny mirror. See, yeah. Guys, this is why you have a mastermind. You know, because everybody has different ideas and different experiences. And thing I never would have thought. It's brilliant. It's simple, but very brilliant. Yeah. I love that. Cool.
Yeah, non-electronic solutions still exist.
Okay. So we covered mirrors. We're kind of going long today. Anything else, guys, before we, cause I think we should wrap it up. So we good?
I think that'll do it.
Okay. Carrie, your website?
KJKmusic.co.uk.
Joe, how do we reach out to you, buddy?
Well, I monitor your, LouLombardiRocks.com. So just reach out to us through the bot and you'll be able to get a hold of either me or Lou, depending on what's going on and what you need.
LouLombardiRocks.com. That's the best place to go to get all the information you need about everything we have going on. Guys, it was a really, I'm glad we did this. We were like kind of thinking last night, well, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to talk about? And then it was like, duh. So go out there, do your live streams, just start. Don't, you know, I gave you guys a lot of different options here. That doesn't mean you have to like go out and spend, you know, a couple thousand dollars today. I'm just showing you how you can over time, give yourself more options, give yourself maybe a better ability to do things in post and, you know, to kind of over time grow it a little bit so that, you know, and you can always mix it up. Turn the room around. Take it, you know, if you have a more portable setup, allows you to go different places and do this as well once you're able to do that. So, you know, we just gave you a lot of options from totally low tech using a mirror to high tech with a lot of cool software and a lot of options out there. All right, guys, thanks so much for hanging out. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind. Have a great week, and we'll catch you on the next Musicians Mastermind.